Hello, family, and welcome back to another episode of Becoming P31, where we talk about all the things becoming the woman that God is calling us to be. Baby, it's not always easy, but it's definitely worth it. And today's episode is going to tackle exactly that. Let's get into it. Okay, love you. Bye. Hello, 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 and welcome back to Becoming P31 with your host, Jazzy Nicole. Good evening, good morning, good afternoon, whatever time you're watching this. Hey, boo, how are you? Listen, if it's your first time here, my name is Jazzy Nicole, and I'm the host of Becoming P31, where we talk about all the things becoming the woman that God is calling us to be, because guess what? It's not always easy. There are challenges, baby, and I want to talk to you about one of those challenges today, which is confidence. Do you struggle with confidence at all? If you do, I hope this conversation blesses you beyond measure. I hope this conversation has you looking at the word of God in a way that is going to boost your confidence. I cannot wait to dive into this with you. I know a lot of people, women, struggle with confidence. I myself am one of those women, and I cannot wait to get into this topic with you. But before we go any further, you already know I need to check on you because it's been an entire week. So how are you doing? How are you feeling? My favorite question is, what went right this week and what could have used some improvement? So what went right for you this week and what could have used some improvement? For me, I think that this week was really well. I finished the book of Jonah on Thursday, and then I basically had the whole weekend. So Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and I really dived into a lot of things in my city, which was really nice, really fun. I focused a lot on enjoying my time with the people I was with, but also getting content. I know you guys know I'm a content creator, and I'm always like looking at opportunities for content. Like, for real, I'm that friend who will be out and about and I'll be seeing stuff like, ooh, that's a pretty picture. Or, oh my gosh, let me just record a couple different angles. But I don't ever want to be that person that always whips out their phone when it's time to just chill at the table. But sometimes it's so hard. Like, I literally be sitting there, y'all, and looking for like opportunities. Like, that might be a good angle. I'm not the best videographer, but honestly, there's two things that I would love to do. I would love to do it, God willing, right? I thought about it, but honestly, I haven't really prayed about it yet because I don't think God is sending me there, but maybe I should. Am I experiencing conviction in this moment to pray about this? Probably. Okay, I need to pray about this today. Number one is, I would love to take a course on videography. So when I have some extra funds and an opportunity to do this, I'm going to take a videography course, like a video course. I don't know if I want to do cinema, like movie type of thing. I just want to learn how to record videos, short form videography. I would love to do that. But number two is, I want to go to seminary school, not to be a pastor, but to dive deeper into the theology of my religion. Like, I would love to go to seminary school. However, I think right now it's like God is calling me to share the nuggets that I'm learning from his word, but he's not calling me to be a Bible scholar. So that's kind of where that's halted right now. But I do need to pray about it because seminary school would be really interesting. I think that for me, seminary school would make me go really, 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 really deep into my Bible studies. And I'm already pretty deep into my Bible studies, but I would love to go deeper. Does that make sense? So these two things I need to pray more about. Number one is going to school to learn more about videography. And number two is seminary school, possibly. I don't know. You know, I just got to be obedient to what God's calling me to do and still pray about the desires of my heart and see if they align with God's will. Regardless, his will be done. But anywho, I know I just went on a tangent, but that was my week. My week was doing things around the city with people that I love and got some opportunity to create content. And that was really exciting. That's always a really exciting thing for me. All in all, I had a good week. Today is Monday that I'm recording this. My kids went back to school a week and a half ago. And let me tell you, when I tell you these kids then hop right into the swing of things, I'm still exhausted at 9 a.m. But they hop right back into the swing of things. Like this Monday, my oldest daughter, she is in high school. She's 14. She's a freshman. And her bus comes at 6:30 in the morning. She was up and out the door at 6:30. Up, dressed, ate, showered, bathed, smelling good, looking nice. 6:30. I was still snoring. Still down to sleep. I need to wake up with her. Gosh, y'all, I need to get up with my baby. And then my youngest daughter, I ended up waking up at like 7. I went to go check on her. She up, sitting up crocheting. This is, my 10-year-old is a self-taught crocheter. So she's up in the morning crocheting. Y'all. I need to get, if your kids are on a better schedule than you, like, it's time for some things. So I'm gonna work on it tonight. I'm gonna try to get to bed early so I can wake up early and see my baby off to school, make her some breakfast, or at least just wake up early and spend some time with her. Even if it ain't breakfast, let me just wake her up and spend some time with her, hug on her and love on her before she goes to school. So wish me luck on that. I hope that you have had a phenomenal week. I hope that your weekend has been amazing. I hope that your weekend has been blessed. I hope you've been smiling and cheering and excited. I hope that for you. Let's talk about today's topic. So in today's topic, we're going to be talking about, I had to turn off my fan. I hope you didn't hear that loud noise, but it's, my little office is like right above my garage and it's hot sometimes. So I hope you didn't hear all that noise. But anywho, let's talk about today's topic. Today's topic is unshakable confidence. And we're going to be looking at overcoming self-doubt in your calling. And the reason why this topic kind of just spewed out to me is I ended Jonah. And in ending reading Jonah, I always pray and ask God, what should I be reading next? And usually he reveals it. But this time, y'all, like literally, I did my fast for August from August 1st to August 3rd. And on August 2nd, I sat at God's feet and I was talking to him. And it was so loud what he said to me. He said to start reading Jeremiah. And when he said it, I was nervous. And I was nervous because I'm familiar with the book of Jeremiah, but literally there's 52 chapters in the book of Jeremiah. And I'm not familiar to the extent of knowing in-depth knowledge about Jeremiah. I'm not there. I didn't know that. The only verse I know from Jeremiah, y'all, to be honest, is Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans that I have for you to prosper you. That's the verse I know. And so when God told me to read Jeremiah and I just read Jonah, I was like, oh God, I don't think I'm ready for that. Like there's 52 chapters that I don't like missing. So like if I make a commitment to God, I don't want to skip a day. I made a commitment to God with this podcast. I made a commitment to God to do my Bible studies day after day, Monday through Friday. And when I seen 52 chapters, I'm like, that's 52 days of consistency. God, that's a lot. You know what I'm saying? Like, I ain't gonna play you. I was nervous. I'm like, I'm not qualified. I'm not prepared. I don't know enough. And God, I literally was sitting down at God's feet crying when he told me to read Jeremiah because I knew what that would entail. It's something I do not know. It is overwhelming. And God says, I'm not calling you because you know. I'm calling you because I want you to be obedient. And in that moment, I lacked confidence, but hearing from God gave me more confidence. And when I tell you, when I read Jeremiah chapter 1, I read it yesterday and then I read it again today before I recorded my chapter 1 video. And I got so much out of it. You hear me? Like, and a lot that God pointed out to me in today's reading was about confidence. And there's a specific part I kind of want to talk to you about before I go into like my notes for today's podcast, because I do want to share this with you and I don't want to overlook it. And I did not include it in my notes. So I'm going to tell you, in Jeremiah chapter 1, there is a God tells Jeremiah, if you're unfamiliar, Jeremiah is a prophet and Jeremiah is a young prophet. Jeremiah was the son of a priest. And so when Jeremiah was called to be a prophet, it's a little bit different because he's a son of a priest. People were probably expecting him to be a priest, but Jeremiah was called to be a prophet, even though Jeremiah was young. And Jeremiah, when God called him, Jeremiah said, but I'm young though, God. I'm too young for this. I can't speak for you. I'm too young. And God said, no, don't say that. Use the words that I put in your mouth. I just thought that was so fire. I'm putting my words in your mouth. And our words spiritually and spiritually speaking, and in this sense now, how we can apply that to our lives today is reading the words of God is literally the word of God. Reading it for yourself and reciting it back to yourself, reciting, putting it on your desk, putting it on your mirror, and saying those things back to yourself, you're literally putting the words of God in your mouth, very similar to what God told Jeremiah. So God was using Jeremiah as a vessel, and in using him as a vessel, he gave him an assignment, and that assignment was to prophesy to the nation about what was going to occur. And this isn't good things that were going to occur to the nations. Oh no, some of this was really, really bad. Like literally, if you look at Jeremiah and you look at chapter 1, God told Jeremiah, I'm going to appoint you to stand up against nations and kingdoms, meaning I'm going to assign you a task. I'm going to make you qualified, even though you said that you're not, you're young, but I'm going to make you qualified to stand up against nations and kingdoms. And some of those nations and kingdoms, you're going to have to uproot. Some of them, you're going to have to tear down. Some of them, you're going to have to destroy. Some of them, you're going to have to overthrow. Imagine getting that assignment from God. That's scary, right? And then he says, others, you're going to have to build up. Others, you're going to have to plant. He has huge assignments coming his way from God, even at a young age. Then after God gives Jeremiah this description of what his assignment's going to be, then God gives him a vision. And this is what stood out to me, but I'm going to tell you what happened to me today first before I go into this vision. So last night, y'all, don't you hate when this happens? So last night, my shower would not drain. So I went to Myers at like 8 p.m. and I grabbed this thing called hair and grease drainage thing. And I also grabbed some Drano because it was my first time seeing the hair and grease thing. But I know Drano handles business, right? So I grabbed the hair and grease thing. I poured it down my drain, like it said, waited overnight because it said that was best. I got up early this morning and literally my tub still wasn't draining. So I'm like, okay, let me use my Drano. I pour my Drano down there, and I know with Drano, like you have to pour your Drano in the drain, and then you have to throw hot water, like boiling water, down the drain, like 30 minutes after you use the Drano. So after I poured the Drano down my drain, y'all, I went downstairs and I filled up a pot of water and I put it on high so it could boil. And I go back upstairs, and I go back upstairs, y'all, and I lay down and I fall asleep. While the water's boiling on my stove, I fall asleep. So I'm like, oh, dang it. Like, I wake up like 30 minutes later, like, oh my gosh, my water. I'm frantic. I run downstairs because I'm like, in my mind, it's like, this water has been boiling for at least 30 minutes. So it could be a couple things that could have occurred at this point. Like, the water could have evaporated. It could be empty. Have you ever left a bottle or a pot of boiling water on the stove and then it evaporated and your pot is burnt? Your house is smoky. Have you ever done that? Like, that's literally what I thought was about to happen when I went downstairs. Luckily, I go downstairs and only half of the water has evaporated. So I still got some water in there and it's boiling. Cool. Turn off the water, go take the water upstairs, pour it down my drain. And now my drain works perfectly fine. I give you this description because let me read you what this verse says. So I'm looking at Jeremiah chapter 1 and I'm going to look specifically at verse number 13, but let me explain 11 through 14 for you. So in explaining this, this is God showing Jeremiah a vision. The first vision that God showed Jeremiah was of an almond tree. The almond tree represented God watching. Okay. It represented God watching what was occurring because the word in Hebrew, almond, means watch. So God was telling Jeremiah with him seeing this almond tree, don't worry about it. I'm watching everything that's going to happen and my plans are going to come to fruition. That's what that almond tree represented. Verse number 13, the Lord asked Jeremiah again, what do you see? And Jeremiah replied, I see a pot of boiling water from the north. I don't believe in coincidences. I do not believe in coincidences. The fact that I struggle with confidence, and then Jeremiah chapter 1 is the first chapter that I read today, and the fact that I had this incident with boiling water, then this happens. But let me explain to you biblically what this boiling water meant to Jeremiah. So in Jeremiah's vision, the boiling water literally meant chaos. And if we ever leave a pot of boiling water on the stove, it feels chaotic. I jumped up out of my sleep. Oh my gosh, my water. I ran downstairs, checked. I was nervous. I was scared. In Jeremiah's vision, the boiling water represented chaos. It represented heat. It represented what the north was going to experience as a result of God's wrath because they were disobedient. Wow. It put in context for me, experiencing that this morning, what Jeremiah may have envisioned and the urgency that he may have felt behind his assignment. I hope that makes sense. This is what I experienced today. And so it made Jeremiah chapter 1 so much louder for me because of my experience. But I wanted to tell you that because I think that that's really important for confidence. And I'm gonna go deeper into like confidence, but I think that goes deeper into confidence for me because I was literally just the other day, August 2nd, sitting at God's feet crying because I didn't feel confident in sharing his word, Jeremiah, with my audience because I didn't feel prepared enough. Yet God was referring to me to Jeremiah, because Jeremiah is a young prophet who felt too that he was too young, immature to carry out a task that God called him to do. And this is my reminder for you too, that in seasons where you know God is calling you on an assignment, but you feel like you're not qualified or prepared enough, I have the best news for you. God always goes before you, and his word never returns void. The scripture will always back you up. One thing about our Heavenly Father is when he gives you an assignment, it's always backed up by scripture. And what do we see in Jeremiah chapter 1? We see that God gives him a reminder of who he is. God says, I knew you before I even formed you. He gives him a reminder. I know you. I knew you were young before when I called you. I know how old you are. I knew you before you were even formed in your mama's womb. I can tell you the day and the time that you were born. You hear me? Like, God knows you. So he gave him a reminder. I know you. I know you by name. I know your DNA makeup. I know exactly what time you were born. I know why I called you. All I need for you to do is be obedient. And in your obedience, you will receive an assignment. And in your assignment, you're going to receive covering, because I've never left you. And that's what stood out to me in Jeremiah chapter 1. But let's get into the details of today's conversation, because today's conversation is about overcoming the self-doubt of your calling. And being someone who just recently experienced this, I want to break down some more things about this, because I know a lot of us struggle with confidence, not only in ourselves, but sometimes confidence in our walk and confidence in our assignment. Let's look at scripture. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says, "For God did not give us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and self-discipline." That is 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. 2 Timothy is a letter from Apostle Paul to his apprentice, Timothy, a man that Paul trained up. Timothy was treated as like a son to Paul. Right. So Paul trained him up, but Paul still knew that Timothy needed some encouragement. So 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 reminds us that God doesn't give us the spirit of fear, but he gives us power, and he gives us love, and he gives us self-discipline. Let's talk about understanding Godfidence. Right. Godfidence. I love it. I love it. I love it. I didn't coin that term. Someone else coined it, but I think it's so fire, because our confidence does not come from us. It comes from God. And how do you develop Godfidence? Because it is so important with our walk. So Godfidence is not about our own capabilities and what we are qualified to do, but it's about trusting God's power and his guidance. It's about knowing that when God calls you for something, he is not calling you to go with your confidence. Because if I went with my confidence, I wouldn't go nowhere, because I don't feel confident on my own. It's about trusting God's power and his guidance, recognizing that Godfidence is rooted in God's character, and it's rooted in his promises, not ours. Godfidence is not about self-confidence. It's about trusting God. So how do you get Godfidence? You trust God. How do you trust God? You learn more about him. How do you learn more about him? You spend time with him. You are in prayer. You are in worship. You are in your Bible. You're reading your word. If that means you're reading a chapter a day, that means you're reading more than a verse a day. If that means you're sitting and digesting what you've read, you're spending more intimate time with God. And as we spend more intimate time with God, just as any relationship, you build trust. Am I right? If you are in a relationship with somebody and you guys have a covenant, spending time with them is how you gain trust. That's how you gain true trust. Now, there are some common struggles that we may have with confidence, and we're going to discuss some of those. For me, I struggle with confidence and thinking like fear of failure or even rejection, especially being on social media, because failure to me on social media is not getting any views, not getting any likes, not getting any engagement, or even being rejected. Like people saying, "Oh, nah, girl, what you even talking about?" Rejection. But I can face that in person too. Do you struggle with fear of failure or rejection at all? Do you struggle with any of those in your walks, personally, in relationships? There's another one, which is self-doubt and uncertainty, like literally doubting who you are or being uncertain about what the next steps are. And then the last one, y'all know I struggle with this because I've told y'all this all the time, but comparing myself to other people. Now, we can look at scripture on this one too. And I'll tell you about Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 quite a bit on this podcast because it's needed. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. This is us recognizing the struggles that we individually have with confidence. And as we're recognizing those things, as we're recognizing it and seeing, oh, wait, I do struggle with comparison. Oh, wait, I do struggle with fear of rejection. Like, I don't want to be rejected. Oh, wait, I am constantly doubting myself or feeling uncertain. It's about taking those things to God. Prayer and petition. Prayer and petition. Prayer and seeking. And giving God the thanks, even in the midst of you feeling like you're lacking. God, thank you. Thank you for having an open door policy where I can come and talk to you. God, I'm dealing with this. God, thank you for saving me and protecting me. God, thank you for giving me a sound mind to even recognize what the struggle is. And then seeking his guidance and wisdom in those times of uncertainty. God, lead me. God, guide me. But can you do it loudly so I don't overlook it? I need to see you. I need your presence. I need your wisdom. I need your guidance. Now, in a short form conversation, we can talk about how to overcome that self-doubt. And there's some different ways biblically that we can overcome self-doubt. And I'll just cover a few of those. But number one, and this is if you are on an assignment, but you're doubting yourself, focus on God's character and his promises. Focus on his character and focus on his promises. So when you look at God's character, you learn a lot about who God is through reading the Bible, through reading the Gospels and understanding Jesus's heart, because we know that Jesus is God in the man-made form, right? So understanding Jesus's heart, you learn more about his character and you know that he's not and even when you read Old Testament, God is a God that gives mercy. God is a God of love, right? God is a God of correction. God is not a God of chaos. When we learn his character and we learn his promises, not only from when we read the word, but how he showed up for us in our own individual lives, it will help us overcome the self-doubt because, truth be told, we were never qualified. We were never qualified. I'm still to this day shocked that God called me to quit my job. Has it been 2 years? I always forget. I think it was 24. So maybe a year and a half. March of 24 is when God called me to quit my job. I'm shocked sometimes that he used me. Like, what? Me? Me? The girl who got in trouble at church because how she was talking as the announcement lady, right? When I was young and I did the announcements at church and they looked at me like I was crazy because I was cracking jokes. The same. That's the girl you want to use? That's the one? The one who grew her Instagram social media platform by posting pictures online? You want to use her? That's the one you want to use, God? She is not qualified to share your word. What? What? The one who didn't want to be relationship, but she wanted to be in situationships for years after years, you want to use her? That's the one? I'm still shocked. But it's not me. I'm merely a vessel. I know God's character and I know what he promised me. And I know that he's guiding me. And we seek his guidance through scripture and through prayer. I know I'm not here because of me alone. Can't be. Baby, you ain't got nothing to do with me. All God. All God. And then too, surrounding yourself with supportive people, people who are supportive of your walk with God is also very important because they're going to keep encouraging you. I'm lucky to have friends who know who God is. I'm lucky to have friends who know who God is because they remind me, girl, you're not doing this by yourself. God wouldn't have brought you this far, would he? Right? Again, let's look at some scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. Again, this is Paul writing to the church in Corinth. And it says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may shine in me. So God is saying, my grace is sufficient. I'm giving you enough grace for today. You ain't got to worry about tomorrow. I'm giving you enough grace for today because I am able to shine through you so well in your weaknesses. So in areas where you are not strong, when you seek me, I can turn up. And then Paul says, because of me knowing that God's grace is sufficient, because of me knowing that his power is made perfect in my weakness, now I can be excited even more so in my weaknesses because I know that Christ's power is going to reside inside of me. Areas that I am weak in, God is strong. Areas where I fall short, my Heavenly Father is strong. Right? I may struggle with communication, but if I lean on my Heavenly Father, he is going to be strong. He's going to show his character through me. Make sense? I can be a vessel and I can be a strong one if I rely on my Heavenly Father. And this is, again, focusing on God's character, focusing on God's promises, seeking him through scripture, seeking him through prayer, surrounding ourselves with people who support us and who love God too. Now, let's talk about building Godfidence real quick here. So, like, Godfidence, building it. It is a situation where if you don't build confidence in God, you're never going to step out on faith. That's the truth. That is the truth. If you do not build confidence in God, you are never going to step out on faith. Stepping out on faith is believing in your foundation. Not trusting God is not trusting your foundation. If you don't learn how to lean on him, you will never step out on faith. And I'm a living example for that because quitting my job in March was a literal step out on faith. I went from a guaranteed check every 2 weeks to relying on God day by day. And it's a year and a half later. Literally, I'm telling you. But trusting in God is believing in your foundation. And if you do not believe in your foundation, you will never step out on faith. Stepping out on faith and obedience is so important to your Godfidence, because stepping out on faith is you leaning on him and trusting him. Being obedient is you doing what he says. And when you do that, God will show out for you. He wants your obedience. And trusting in God is literally looking at God's sovereignty, his goodness, is looking at what he's done for you in the past. It's realizing that he's never left you nor forsaken you. God has never left you. He's always been there. Have you seen him? And the way you see it is like you look back at past experiences. And in looking back at past experiences, you can see God's faithfulness. I think we all have examples of where God has been faithful to us in seasons where we weren't deserving, in seasons where we weren't qualified. You can look at situations in your life and be like, I know that was nothing but God. Because it couldn't have been me. It couldn't have been me. I know it was nothing but him. Had to be. Let's look at scripture. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 16. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who wants to come to him must believe that he not only exists, but that he rewards those who seek him, who earnestly seek him. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it's impossible to be obedient. Without faith, it's impossible to step out on faith. Because with faith, we see who he is. We believe that he exists. We believe that he died on the cross for our sins. We believe that he rewards those who seek him earnestly. We believe that seeking him earnestly is going to reveal fruits of the Spirit. It's going to allow us to do what God called us to do. So stepping out on faith and obedience, we want to trust God's sovereignty. And the way you do that is you look at your past experiences and you get into your word. Now, how do we talk about applying that Godfidence to our life? Well, there's some practical ways. Number one is taking risks. So you can take risks by stepping out on faith. When I say stepping out on faith, I mean literally listen to what God is calling you to do. Those little whispers that you hear in your ear that align with scripture, that's stepping out on faith. You're in, let's just use an example that happened literally over the week with a friend of mine. We were in church and she was like, I really want to pray for that lady. Because this lady was sitting in front of us and she was like bawling in tears the entire service. And she was like, I really want to hug that lady, excuse me. And I'm like, hug her. If you hug, I mean, just tap her and see if it's okay to hug her. She probably really needs that hug. You know, stepping out on faith. If God will whisper certain things to you and tell you to do certain things, and sometimes we choose to ignore it, sometimes we don't. But God will point out those things to us. Has God ever told you to pray for somebody and you were like, oh God, you want me to walk clear across the room and go ask her to pray? Or God told you to give them your last $4 and you was like, oh God, but I got, my kids got to eat tonight. You want me to walk over there and do that? Girl, you better listen. That's the Holy Spirit telling you to navigate those things. Because anytime God tells you to do something, it aligns with scripture. Our God is compassionate. Our God is loving. You'll know when it's from God. You can feel when it's from God, especially when you spend time in his word, trusting his guidance, trusting his wisdom. Definitely make sure that you're prioritizing your prayer and your reflection on his word. Look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. It says, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. There's risks associated with stepping out on faith, but I guarantee you it's 100% worth it. Because God guides us and he gives us his wisdom. And if you keep praying and you keep reflecting on the word that you've read through his word, like, there's so much power there. So I hope this conversation helped. It's really just a overview of confidence and how to get it, how to maintain it, how to keep it. And I really pray that each of us are walking in the confidence of God and realizing that confidence does not come from ourselves alone, but it comes from him. I encourage you today to really trust God's power, trust his guidance, because he's never going to leave you astray. And I want to end with just a prayer with you, because I think, did I forget to pray with you earlier? I think I forgot to pray with you. Goodness gracious. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I thank you so much for the opportunity for fellowship, God. God, I thank you for your word, your owner's manual, your resource that you left behind for us so we can navigate this world today, Lord God. God, you've given each and every one of us an assignment, Lord God, and we want to lean into you, Lord God, through prayer, through worship, Lord God. We ask for your presence through reading your word, Lord God. God, give us the confidence. Remind us that confidence only comes from you, that we are required or asked to do what you call us to do, Lord God. God, we ask to do what you call us to do. We ask to do things that align with your will and not ours. God, shape our hearts and our thoughts so they align with your will and not ours, God. Shape our minds, shape our steps, shape our footsteps, Lord God. Walk with us. You reminded us in your word that you would never leave us nor forsake us. And God, we are so grateful for the person who is struggling with confidence on the call that you have for them, Lord God. I just ask that you touch them with your presence, Lord God. I ask that you touch them and remind them that the confidence comes from you and that the strength comes from you. Lord God, as we head into the journeys that you have for us, God, we want to give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the thanks, God. Thanks for using us as a vessel. Allow us to be willing vessels for your kingdom. Lord God, allow us to do exactly what you called us to do and walk on the seasons that you call us to walk into, Lord God. Allow us to take notes for the next person so we can keep sharing your glory, sharing our testimonies, and sharing our walk so that we can keep bringing people closer and closer into the kingdom. God, thank you for our assignments. Thank you for our right minds. Thank you for our process. Thank you for what's going to occur. Thank you for our testimonies. Lord God, we give our lives to you. We give our footsteps to you. We give our families to you, our children to you, God. We give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the thanks. For our children who are going back into school, God, we ask for covering for them, for their minds, for their hearts, Lord God. We pray for their surroundings. We pray that they go into school safe and exit safely, Lord God. God, we pray that what we've instilled in them spiritually, they carry over into their friendships, Lord God, that they keep pouring out the light that you installed inside of them as well to other people, Lord God. God, we give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the thanks. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You guys, I hope you have an amazing week, and I'll talk to you next time. Love you. Bye.